Hi, and welcome to The Literary Sipper. I'm Amber Beattie Hill, your host. Today, we're going to talk a bit about book-to-film adaptations. Now, this is by no means going to be some huge critique or overview. It's just a few thoughts that I've been having about the topic since my son, who is in sixth grade, he has a quarterly reading assignment called an IRA. I'm sure many, many people in middle school know what that stands for, independent reading assessment. And in this case, the quarter work had to be a book that then was turned into a film or a television series. And they wrote compare, contrast, or did a project where they compared and contrasted the book to the film. So Tate read Ready Player One and, of course, watched the Spielberg movie and had a lot of opinions on it. As I'm sure many, many of you do, but it is really funny to watch this film through the eyes of a preteen who just loves pointing out all that the movie got wrong. Everything, every minor detail. And if you are to, you know, look at his report at the end, there are at least 18 things that he thinks should have been added. But a lot of good reasons as to why they aren't. He said to me, Mom, you know, one sentence in a book could cost $1 million to make. And that's very true. And that's the economy of words for you. But it also got me to thinking, maybe he has some sort of genetic bias towards loving the book. I mean, who's to say? Just because I'm his mother and really always say, well, did you read the book before they watch a film or a television show? But he did love the movie as well. But he really said to me, they're kind of two separate things. And I think that that's true. You can love a book and love a movie and also not quite see how they connect to each other. Or you can see the choices that the director and producers made and ask yourself if you would have made the same thing. Not too long ago, I posted a New Yorker cartoon to my feed that had a man with his popcorn passing by a pile of books left outside the cinema entrance. And underneath the pile of books, there's a sign that says, last chance to read the book before seeing the movie. And I was surprised by how many people do not like to see the movies of the books they love and how many people did not realize that the movies they love are in fact books. And I think that that's really interesting in considering these days when so many books are opted into the episodic television. That is kind of the norm now because it's a lot easier to take a novel and have more than 2 hours to depict the nuance of characterization or setting or world building that needs to take place. I mean, a small, quiet novel like The Queen's Gambit can be turned into an 8 to 10 part series that is just magical in display and I think is one of the great conversions that have come out in the last couple of years. And it's a lot harder to do when you want to turn around a 2-hour movie. I mean, look, even superhero movies are upwards of 3 hours right now. So people want the time devoted to the story. And it's actually interesting when you do see a screenplay that's quite tight and what that writing and the adaptation of that writing, how interesting it is when it's done well. I think there's a book that many people have read over the years, The Color Purple, of course, which had its screen adaptation back in the late 80s and then again in this last year. And, you know, you can see how cultural norms have shifted the way we viewed certain characters like Shig and Seeley. But not quite. They couldn't quite get to the core of their relationship, which is always interesting. And I wonder if they end up redoing that book in 20 years, what it will look like. But I think in this age of binge television and episodic television, people are okay with spending a little more time with the same characters. And I think of Normal People by Sally Rooney, another great novel that was turned into a great television program. But I have to say, I didn't watch it because I loved Normal People so much. And it was really, really hard for me to think about spending time with them, with one person's viewpoint of them and of the story. And even though I know it was wonderful and so many people are like, Amber, you will love it. You will love it. I can't believe you haven't watched it. There are some times when books are really close to you and it's really hard to think about another person's vision of that same book. And in the same way, I just watched A Man Called Otto, which was Tom Hanks's redoing of the Swedish book, A Man Called Uwe, which they did do a Swedish film. This is the American version of that Swedish film. And I love the story so much and love those characters so much, but I didn't watch it right when I came out. I had to be far enough away from that book that watching it was like revisiting an old friend. And it's interesting to me now that we're seeing, you know, new things like The Three Body Problem, which was a Chinese novel, science fiction novel that got converted into a Netflix series. Lessons in Chemistry was that best-selling book that you couldn't get away from that hot pink cover last summer. And now it's, of course, its own television show as well, which I have not watched either. And to be fair, it takes a lot for me to like get invested in a series. I feel like I don't have that in me anymore to kind of spend so much time in one stationary spot. But I appreciate it as an art form and love hearing about people's watches that they love, like White Lotus or Wednesday. I mean, all of the shows that people are into now. I enjoy hearing about them, but I have not personally sat down and watched them. But it does come to pass that, you know, of course, there are the traditional, the classic books, you know, and plays that are always going to be translated into films. And I think plays are definitely the most successful translation into film adaptation. I mean, every version of Romeo and Juliet, every version of Hamlet, the Coen brothers' Macbeth was, to me, a magical experience of theater without being in the theater. I don't know how many people watched that, but I highly recommend it. It came out in the middle of the pandemic when we were in lockdown, and I watched it. First of all, Frances McDormand, she can do no wrong as far as I'm concerned. Everything that she does is wonderful. And her turn as Lady Macbeth was no less than magical. As I think I just said magical twice, but I don't care. It was great. And it's a black and white film. And the stark setting and the woman who plays the witches at the beginning is completely worth the price of admission. If you only watch the first 10 minutes of that movie, do it, because her work physically takes that entire scene and puts it on its head in a way you have never seen it done before. And what I enjoyed most about it was when I was feeling really sad that I couldn't go see live theater or live music, it felt like I was in a theater. The way they filmed it and the way the characters interacted with the camera made it feel real and made it feel visceral in a time where it was almost as if we had been suspended in time. And I highly recommend that watching. But a lot of people say plays are meant to be performances, so the adaptation to film isn't that far off. And it's a lot harder to do novels. And I think that's true. But I also think that there have been some great ones over the years. And a couple that come to mind are Fight Club. I think Fight Club is a great film. And I think it is a great novel. And I think they did a great job with a completely crazy premise. Cuckoo's Nest, another classic. Of course, I love Ken Kesey's novel. But I think that cast is a moment in cinematic history that will go down forever. Michael Douglas directing, Jack Nicholson, of course, Danny DeVito. It is a wonderful book. And I used to use that film as well in the classroom, and it does translate to the classroom. There's a lot to talk about, a lot to discuss, so that even if you don't use the novel in the same way, it's a great spring book to bring into the classroom because the kids will enjoy reading it. Teenagers, of course, will enjoy reading it. But the film is also an important one in America, and you can see how Nurse Ratched herself became this icon and caricature, and you can see how the trope followed through in a lot of other films and television series after that movie and film came out. And The Body, Stephen King's short story, The Body, which of course was turned into Stand By Me. I mean, after he saw that film, Stephen King cried because he said it was the first time he ever saw exactly what he thought he saw while writing. And I just think that what a compliment to Rob Reiner as a director. And of course, all of the young actors in that movie were just terrific. And River Phoenix, RIP. And I think a recent one is this most recent adaptation of Dune. I can't tell you, I would rather watch that movie than read that book, Six Ways to Sunday. I just think that director's vision and how technology was able to meet that vision, but also be very organic and interesting and visually alluring. That's what the movies are all about. There's a spectacle to movies, but also the quietness of the characters, the subtlety of the acting in this kind of largesse landscape was really well done. And I think in a lot of ways gave the book more gravitas. But those are just a few of my thoughts on film to TV adaptation. I don't tend to want to at first push rewatch films that are based on books I love, like All the Light We Cannot See, I know is coming out, and or maybe it's already out, I don't even know. But there are just times where I want to have this vision of the world for myself. And there are times when I like a film a whole lot more than I like the book. I mean, I love Pride and Prejudice. I love Keira Knightley's Pride and Prejudice, but I am not a big fan of the novel. And I have never really taught it or never really said, oh, this is, Jane Austen is the best. I just have always felt like, yeah, it's good. It's a period piece. It's good. Yeah, I see why it's important, all the things. But that movie was pretty good. And I'm always curious to hear what movies you think are worth watching, what adaptations you think are worth watching, and certainly drop them in the comments and leave me a review while you're there. I hope all is well, and I'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to The Literary Sipper. I hope you enjoyed this episode and learned something new. If you did, please subscribe and leave a rating and review if you're feeling especially generous. Until next time, keep reading, keep writing, and keep putting your voice in the world. It's waiting for you.